Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Owen, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are things?
Why are you worried that you might have...
No, I'm not. I guess I'm not worried that I have coronavirus. Well, maybe a slight concern. Yeah, so basically I've been in contact with some people recently who are now diagnosed with coronavirus in South Korea. And the situation in South Korea over, say, the last week has really exploded from about 50 confirmed cases to now over 800.
Right.
So there's a very nice little URL called coronamap.site where you can basically go and keep a track, you know, keep track of the number of cases and where they are, which location. You can even, if you click on individuals, you can even find where they've been, etc.
So I don't want their name, obviously, but how close have you been to somebody who's now been diagnosed with coronavirus?
Well, we all work at some institute.
So would you be sitting across a desk from someone who's now been diagnosed?
No, basically. So we were sort of, meet and greets, paperwork that needs to be filled out. It doesn't take very long. It could take like 2 minutes or so.
And the person that has been diagnosed with coronavirus, do you know them?
Briefly, yeah. We've had some, basically over the last week. So it's basically somebody who's newly arrived at our institute.
Okay, so you've landed back in Ireland, obviously.
Exactly. So I came in on Saturday, and I guess, you're coming from Korea where the situation until, let's say, Wednesday last week was more or less 50 cases, and now it's 800. It's really developed very, very quickly. Essentially through this church in Daegu, it made all the news.
So when did you discover that the person that...
I found this out on Sunday by emails that were circulated at the institute.
So what was your reaction when you...
I'm in limbo. I just don't know what's going on, right?
So you're right.
Basically, although I've had some very limited contact with this administrator, they were also in contact with visitors I had for the whole week. And so I was with my visitors basically all of the time. So if any one of us picked up something, then it's quite possible it could have gone to the others.
So you arrived back the weekend. Did you ring the HSE or talking?
When I found out on Sunday, I tried to contact the HSE, but basically their helpline doesn't operate on Sunday.
Oh, doesn't it?
No. So basically the first thing I could do was contact them 8 a.m. this morning.
Okay, and?
And then they got back to me just recently, I think about 1:30 or so. And so basically they were confirming how much contact I had had, and they were sort of assuring me that if it wasn't prolonged contact, like 15 minutes, or we hadn't sat down for a meal or been confined in a room for over two hours, that basically probably there's nothing there.
And
that they wouldn't be interested in me.
And were you reassured, Owen?
Well, I'm still in limbo, right? In the sense that I don't know now, should I...
self-quarantine?
What should I do for the next week or two?
And where are you... what's the circumstances of where you're staying back here in Ireland for the next two weeks?
I'm staying with family.
Okay. And would there be anyone in the family that might be vulnerable if...
That's a concern. So basically, I'm with my mother, and my mother is in contact with my other siblings, some of which are, their immune systems at the moment are a little compromised. So, this is the concern, right? That basically, if it turns out that maybe in 10 days or so that I am actually infected, that this could propagate.
And the conversation with the HSE, as you say, within the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, basically the last half an hour.
And was that with a medic on?
A medical professional.
Okay.
So basically, it's difficult to know what constitutes a risky case at this point, but presumably they're on top of it.
But were you reassured when they said, unless you were 2 hours or had a meal?
No, I did. To me, given how quickly things are developing in Korea... if you go from 50 cases on Wednesday to 800, how many of those are... Just to put this in perspective, before we found out that one of our administrators had been diagnosed on Sunday, on Thursday we got a circular from within our university, which I'm not going to name.
Yeah, right.
But it was basically saying that the wife of one of the administrators on campus, that she had had some overlap, like basically she'd been in the same place with somebody who had been confirmed. Mm-hmm. And the university was concerned about that. So concerned that they told us that we should avoid going into that particular building where that person worked, and if we had to go in, we should be wearing masks. So actually, the first thing that struck me coming back to Dublin was how all our immigration officers, none of them were wearing masks.
Were you?
I was wearing a mask. I think I was the only person on my plane wearing a mask.
Because you flew in from Paris and
exactly.
Your second leg.
Exactly. I'm curious to view this. I know Ireland's very far away from China, but Korea basically, immediately after the outbreak, virtually everybody who was working in Korean Rail, you know, the local rail company, they were all wearing masks. I mean, they're very conscious that they could have interactions with Chinese tourists, and you just don't know. So I think they were all wearing masks.
Okay, stay with us on. Derek, 51551, joe@rte.ie. Derek, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you?
What's your situation, Derek?
Well, my situation is very simple. I'm retired, and last week was the midterm break. So after the children have gone back to school, I was taking off for a trip to Rome for a few days, four nights, actually. Mm-hmm. And I booked with a Dublin tour operator, travel agent. And then I read all the reports at the weekend about the outbreaks in Italy, and I noticed I was flying to Rome, and there were direct flights from Rome to Wuhan province, which they've now cancelled.
Yeah.
And this morning, the situation seemed to deteriorate more, and the workers in Rome airport were wearing masks and whatever. So I wondered if it was right to go. So I tried to contact the travel agent yesterday by email and got any reply, and tried by telephone this morning, tried by email, and then I spoke to your researcher, and at 13:28 today, lo and behold, I got an email back from them. And I'd been in touch with the...
And what did they say in that email, Derek?
Beg your pardon?
What does the travel agent say in the email about Rome? Rome
just
was
said,
fine.
Hi, Derek, thank you for your email. At the moment, there has been no cancellation policy received regarding your booking. However, I am contacting the relevant suppliers regarding our booking below and will revert as soon as I have information.
Well, the Department of Foreign Affairs advisory this morning, shortly afternoon, said citizens are advised not to travel to affected areas in Italy, and they're listed. Now, they put in five links to the Piemonte, Lombardia, Veneto, Emilia-Romagna and Lazio region. Unfortunately, I'm trying to get into them earlier on. They're all in Italian. But they are the regions in the north of Italy. So Rome is...
They're up around Milan, yeah.
Yeah, sure, Rome is fine, so, isn't it?
Well, the difficulty is, you see, that the flights to Wuhan came in through Rome. So if the staff, the workers in Rome airport are wearing masks or protective clothing, whatever, they obviously have certain risks there. Now, if you go off on a holiday to Rome, grand, and if you get it, it's a problem for yourself. But the worry I would have, you go there, you travel on bus, you go into a tour, you go into the Sistine Chapel or somewhere, and you meet somebody there, and you pick it up and bring it back and give it to your family or your friends here. I think it's a risk. I'm not prepared to take it anyway.
So you're not going?
No.
Oh, you're not going?
No, I'm not going.
And will you get your money back?
I don't know yet. I'll see. Well, I don't have to cancel it. I can reschedule it because I'm sure this will last for X number of weeks or a month or whatever, and we'll be all right then.
The other thing the Department of Foreign Affairs say, well, everyone should have one of these anyway, but you should have your European health insurance card.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but people haven't got it. If you want the HSE website and put in EHIC, you can get it fairly quickly, putting in your PPS number. And they also say you should have good medical insurance, private medical insurance, and comprehensive travel insurance.
Sure.
Are you, Derek, like, you know, you mentioned going into Sistine Chapel and whatever else, the Colosseum or whatever, but... Like, is that not a risk we take anyway? If this is the case, we never leave the house.
I think it's a little bit more than that, Joe. I mean, if you consider the deaths in Italy at the moment and the fact that the flights came in through Rome from Wuhan, I think there's a bit more to it than that. And, I mean, if you're only going for leisure travel, if you had to go for business or something like that, it would be different. But if you're only going for leisure travel, it's not worth the risk of bringing something back to your family. Because you've only got to look at online something or other, and you'll see the guys there in Rome wearing the masks and what have you. So I think they're scared. So if they're scared, I mean, what's the point?
The point is, Italy is how many? 60 million people, last time I looked, around that. Like, you could easily pick it up here. Someone coming from London or France or... Are you with me?
I'm with you, but I think the situation in Italy is worse than it is. I mean, it's worse than Britain or France or anywhere else at the moment. For whatever reason, it's spreading around, and they've locked down certain towns in the northern area there. And
well, it seems to be. I was listening to a report very early this morning, the BBC World Service. It's a very, half-hearted lockdown. The reporter said he tried to get into. He arrived at one of the villages. There was a Carabinieri car parked on the outskirts, said to him, you can go in, but if you go in, you've got to stay 2 weeks. And then they were kind of foostering around, and the two lads got into the police car and drove off.
But that's a bit worrying, Joe, isn't it?
Okay, well, you're reading it your way. Okay.
It's a bit worrying.
I know. Sorry, I drove into that. Owen.
Yep.
The whole thing, please. Bloomberg News said this morning that the Italian government had completely overreacted and panicked. But was there a sense of panic in South Korea last week?
No, this is the interesting thing. There has been a sense. There's a couple of cities that are affected. One of them is Daegu, where this church was based. And that has essentially, the streets have been empty for days now.
Okay.
And now Daegu is about 70 kilometers away from Pohang, where my university is based. And then now it's in a similar state, where there's like 50 or 60 people who are infected and the streets are empty. But if you go to Seoul, which is a city of 12 million people, there's maybe only 200, 300 cases. And people are still out having fun, enjoying themselves, going to restaurants. So basically on Thursday, Friday night, I was out with my wife, her friends. There's no problem. Nobody's wearing masks. Maybe they're wearing masks on public transport or wearing it on the metro, on buses. But around their friends, you know, there's no masks. People are eating and drinking. So, I mean, I would say things are quite relaxed in Seoul at the moment. It's a very large city, and chances of coming in contact with somebody are quite low. But the people in Pohang and Daegu are certainly freaks out.
See, I think there's a different situation in Rome, because Rome is a hub for flights. And I don't know. I know there are no flights from Dublin to Wuhan, and I don't even know if there are flights from London to Wuhan province, or possibly are. But that's a situation that's quite different, because you think of the number of people at X number of flights per week, hundreds of people on each flight actually coming in from the Wuhan province, where the problem is in China at the moment. So you can see how it's come into Italy.
Actually, Joe, if I may say...
Yes, of course.
Sorry, South Korea is also quite affected at the moment. So it's good if, people are aware of this. And Northern Italy is as well. I'm due to go to Northern Italy at some point in the next few weeks, and I'm thinking, will I even be able to go there? Even if I do go there for work, are there going to be people there to work with? It may not be an opportune time to go. So certainly this is going to affect everything.
Well, this seems to be the critical week, doesn't it, in terms of pandemic or no pandemic?
And the question is Ireland prepared?
But how can you be prepared? Just take me there, Owen.
It's certainly in South Korea, I guess people have been limiting contact. Mm-hmm. They've been trying to avoid certain places. So, for example, museums at the moment would be deserted. You know, any place where they've been cancelling events, any place where people congregate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's okay to meet your friends and people you feel comfortable with, but if you're going somewhere in large crowds, it's best to avoid these things. So if you're happy to take the risk, on the flip side, you know, it's a great time to go and visit your favorite museum, right? There'll be nobody there. Or if you want a good deal, you can get it at the moment. Yeah, it's certainly interesting. So I haven't seen any of this in Ireland. Of course, there's no cases, really. So it's a bit premature.
I think the caller's making a good point, yeah. Joe. We have a lot of direct flights from Dublin going into Italy and particularly even into Milan.
Hmm.
And you would imagine that on the flights coming in from Milan, there would be some checks at the airports here.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, Joe. I think even I went skiing in South Korea recently, and then temperature thermometers set up. They were basically monitoring people in the ski house for fevers. And like, I don't know if it's practical. I don't know if it even works very well, but certainly they were going through the motions. They wanted to be seen to be doing something.
Yeah.
So, I don't think any of this is there at Dublin Airport.
And Owen, how did you finish up your phone call with the HSE a half an hour ago when you told them you've been in contact with someone who's now been diagnosed with the coronavirus?
We just tried to establish what close contact was in their definition, and they told me what it was, and basically I don't fit into this case, so they're not going to test me.
But did they say if you...
If I do develop symptoms later on, then basically I should come and talk to them.
Mm. And did they outline the symptoms?
I guess they're on the website. I think they're quite well known.
Now, every health body and health advisory group is saying, would people please make an even bigger effort to wash their hands with soap and hot water? Just give a good at least 20 seconds and the simplest thing in the world, a good scrub of your hands and what's the next big event in Ireland? I know they're cancelling events left, right and centre all over Italy and beyond, but what's Ireland and Italy? Isn't it in the Aviva?
The rugby match, Joe.
Yeah, that's next. When is that? That's Saturday week.
Saturday week, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, the 7th.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 2:15. Okay, Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're in Churchtown in Dublin. COVID,
yes, I am.
COVID-19, what are you worried about?
I'm wondering about the situation with foreign students coming into the country. You know, the language schools and they have foreign students coming in.
Mm-hmm. And where are they coming from?
Well, they could be... They're generally all from France, Spain, China, Japan, you know, Brazil, Mexico. But I'm just wondering what's the situation or what's the advice? Could you put it out there to see? Is there any advice given to folk like that? The host families?
Well, I presume it's just carry on as normal.
The
world can't come to a standstill.
I can understand what you're saying, but it's just I'm just curious what do folk think, what do the schools think?
There's a big difference, Joe, between leisure travel and essential travel.
Yeah.
You know, if you have an essential reason for travelling for some business meeting or something, maybe go. But if it's just leisure travel, surely you can postpone it for a few weeks until this settles down and we get a better read on what's happening.
But are you sure? I take your point. But are you sure it'll settle down, Derek?
Well, I don't know. I'm not an expert. Somebody might know. Maybe the Department of Foreign Affairs. I phoned them as well to get a view on it. And they said that today they were hoping to meet some other or get some information
and
back from other EU countries.
Did you specifically mention Rome? Because Rome is in one of the regions that they list here as... Please find the websites of the regional governments of Piemonte, Lombardia, Veneto, Emilia, Romano and Lazio. Lazio was looking at the football team. That's Rome, isn't it? So, and then they say earlier on, citizens are advised not to travel to affected areas.
Well, I mean, you don't know. We're here in Ireland. We're getting the information on the website or whatever. The Department of Foreign Affairs would have an embassy in Rome and they'd have a read on it, but that's up to them.
Olive, good afternoon. 5-1. Olive, you've already cancelled your holiday to Portugal.
Yes, Joe, I just cancelled my holiday. I think I'd rather stick to home ground.
What swung it for you, Olive?
What swung it for me is Italy, I guess, and people are dying. And in my opinion, airplanes are, I suppose, if you're going to pick something up and it's on the plane, you know, the air is circulating, so it's quite dangerous. So, yeah, I just cancelled. And luckily enough, it was a free cancellation. That's good.
And how long did you plan to go to Portugal for?
We had planned to go for 2 weeks. Yeah, to Albufeira, and we were there last year, and it was absolutely fabulous.
And the weather was absolutely fabulous.
Oh my God!
And you got your year's dosage of vitamin D, something we don't get enough of in Ireland, and we need badly.
We did.
So yes, you'd be healthier. You'd be healthier if you went to. I'm not trying to be funny, but you.
Well, Joe, I actually do take a supplement. Come spring forward, fall back. I take supplements. Both ends of the change. Of season, you know. Of
now, when were you due to fly to Albufeira?
We were going on the 15th of May.
15th of May?
Yeah.
Sure, that's months away, Olive.
I know, but it's getting worse and worse. So we're happy enough now that it's something I actually really wanted to do is spend some time in the Gaeltacht.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
You know.
Catch a bit of Irish down there. But many of you were going to Portugal in May. Was everyone agreeable to cancel it? Did anyone hold out and say, listen?
Everybody bar one, but.
Yeah, well, that's 70, that's 25% said no.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm happy anyway. So, you know, no, it's not that I'd be the boss or anything, but I'm happy that it's cancelled. And. Okay. You know, I'm actually relieved because it's quite worrying. Every day we're hearing something different about this virus, and you know, it's just like it's worrying. You know,
I just wonder if many people cancelled cruises.
I know. This is it. You know, and
5-1. Stay there, all 5-1-5-1. Bernard, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
How many have you cancelled?
Well, there was 14 or 16 of us cancelled. We were supposed to go to Valamico in the... It's just on the south side of Livigno there, in Italy.
In Italy?
Yeah.
And when were you due to go, Bernard?
We were due to go on the 6th of March.
And you've cancelled?
We cancelled it, yeah. We go to... It's a nice little family place, and, you know, it's not really
sounds great,
commercial.
Yeah. And there was a group of 16, they were unanimous in cancelling?
Yeah, very much so.
Why? Is that you in one of the affected areas or near?
No, yes, it is. One or two times up that area is one of the affected areas.
Okay.
And I remember we lived on the border, Joe, when the foot and mouth came in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how it was awful that things were because people were going to talk, they were going to lose stock, and people did lose stock. And it was unnecessary travelling, so nobody knows where this is coming from.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't the mystery, and how the pathogen is being transmitted. And some people, they still haven't found patient zero, we think, in South Korea. Is that true, Owen? Am I right there? Is that a different country?
No, I think they have found. More or less ranked, right?
Yeah.
They have 1 to 800, basically.
In Italy, they haven't found patient zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Joe, people don't realise they're picking it up, and they can have it for 2 weeks before they even know it. You know, so it's going to get worse as far as anybody else can see because it's into Italy now, and who knows when it's going to be into France.
Well, there's already some cases in France, but they've been, I think, Chinese tourists who landed in France, obviously. Okay,
yeah.
Let me. You know,
I was watching the game yesterday, you know, and the guys going into the scrum, and I was kind of, you know, like in 2 weeks' time we're going to be playing Italy, you know, that's worrying as well.
I think some matches have already been cancelled. But
you know, it is frightening. So I think we can protect ourselves. That's the only thing we can try anyway.
But like you know,
back during the foot and mouth, it is disease. It was only animals that was that could contract it, and you know. But this is a human being issue.
I know. Of course.
All the time
I was in Dundalk.
Hi, Joe.
You work in a farm.
I'm actually in Dublin.
Good man. Okay.
I work in pharmacies.
Okay, my jaw's dropping here with people cancelling. Now, they're entitled to do it. But what's your response as a pharmacist?
I'm not a pharmacist. Oh, I work within pharmacy. Okay. A pharmacy program manager. And,
okay.
Basically, like, I was just listening to... I hopped in a car that I was going to one of my pharmacies listening in, and I just think we're getting a little bit carried away.
Okay.
Like, if we need to take a step back. You know, everyone's talking about cancelling trips. Travel. No, like coronavirus.
Stay there because you broke on me for that critic a bit. I'll come back to you after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Ola works in the pharmacist and he thinks people are overreacting. Do you mean by cancelling holidays to.
By everything. By like hand sanitizers going, like running out, face masks running out. Like, if this was a flu, if this was a normal flu, it wouldn't be talked about as much. But yet, influenza has a 3-6% mortality rate. And in, like, 2019, it has infected approximately 5 million people, and 290 to about 400,000 people died worldwide. Coronavirus, so far, is on 77,000 infections, or thereabouts, and we're talking about 3,000 mortalities. So it's less than 3% or about 3% for coronavirus. For influenza, we're at 3-6%.
But if you can get a flu jab.
You can get a flu jab.
You can't get a coronavirus jab.
Absolutely. And that's why it has pandemic potential. Yeah. But it's not a pandemic yet. And we are reacting to it like it is. And with most mortalities from the coronavirus has been people who have either compromised immune systems or elderly, which, again, similar profile to the flu. I'm not saying in no way we should not protect ourselves.
Of course,
I'm just saying we should focus on, if you need more information, visit the HSE's website, visit the EU CDC's website. But we're hitting the panic button when we really shouldn't. And if we go around cancelling global trips and things like that, we can create the next financial crisis.
I know.
For nothing.
What do you think of Olive, who's cancelling a trip to Portugal? That's in May. Bernard, 16 of them, cancelled a skiing trip. That's in March.
Yeah, like I actually have a trip to Milan in March. And I've not cancelled it yet because I'm waiting to actually see what the CDC say and what the actual experts in it are telling us to do. No one's saying cancel trips yet. The current advice is stay away from certain named regions.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But if you go about cancelling trips and if everyone cancelled a trip to Italy, that would crush the Italian economy. And I know it sounds crazy, like we're talking health and we're talking economy, but you know, we're just coming out of a global financial crisis. It doesn't take very much to affect the global economy. So we need to really take a deep breath and stop panicking. If you're unsure, if you feel you've been exposed, there's the HSE's website, there's the CDC's website. Let's actually take a step back.
Okay.
In terms of mortality, it's not more dangerous than the flu at
but
the
it's the unknown unknowns, isn't it, Ola?
Absolutely. It's the unknown, but we just need to, take a deep breath. That's my opinion. That's my lowly opinion. But that's the thing. Like, that's why I just sexed in, because I...
Yeah, no,
everything's
right.
just been... Well, coronavirus... Yeah, go on.
No, I just want to put that to Owen. Owen, were you reassured at the end of the conversation with the HSE?
So here's the problem. It's basically my family, right? So if there is even a small chance I'm infected, my mother could be too. And then she's helping out with the care of some other members in our family who are receiving treatment at the moment, and their immune systems are not great.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the responsibility that nobody wants to take. And so I think they will probably avoid contact over the next few weeks.
And will you self-quarantine?
That's what I need to figure out now over the next day or two, right?
Okay.
No,
Ola.
Again, if you're in any way unsure, the HSE have not, you've contacted them and they've basically
told me that they're not interested in me. So basically they think I'm a very low risk case.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, again, because you are a low-risk case.
Yeah, that's fine. What so basically, then it's a question about whether or not I spend the next 2 weeks in my room, or do I go out and live my life? But you're telling me I should go out and live my life, yeah?
What I would recommend is limit, not necessarily self-quarantine, not being told to self-quarantine, but monitor yourself and limit your exposure to the general public. Increase use of hand sanitizers, basic things, wash your hands.
Soap. Just bars of soap.
Yeah. Or even, like, just have a hand sanitizer. Like, I'm in and out of pharmacy, I have a hand sanitizer in my car that I use every time.
Mm-hmm.
To just reduce my risk of spreading any viruses or any bugs. You were told you're a low risk, so if you're a high risk, you would not be in the general public. And that's what we need. That's why we have, like, experts that do make recommendations. They're, at the end of the day, the HSE does not want people who are high risk walking around. So let's have a bit of trust in you. I'm not one to say trust authority here, but these are experts. So let's just take a deep breath and not push the panic button quite yet.
Okay.
That's my simple duty.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. Thanks, Ola Taiwa. Joe Taylor, people know him from his acting career and more, but you worked in, as we know, in a vet lab for a decade, Joe.
Yes, yeah.
And I presume some microbiology is your speciality, is it?
I did microbiology for my speciality, Joe.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, with regards to the masks, people are worried about the availability of masks. When we see people in China or Japan wearing masks, usually those people are the people who are infected themselves rather than people who are trying to prevent infection. And the reason why they're wearing the masks is to stop any droplets, nasal droplets or droplets from saliva or mucus from contaminating them. Anybody else. Usually what happens is people put their, believe it or not, subconsciously people put their hands up to their face quite a lot, to their nose, to their eyes and their mouth. And that's what happens. They transfer the virus, which is there usually collecting in mucus or whatever, onto their fingers, onto their hands, and then from their hands they transfer it onto a surface. Now, the virus can survive for a while on an inorganic surface if it has sufficient protein material with
and
it.
And when you say a while, Joe, what does that mean?
Well, if it was out in the sun, for example, the UV light could kill it fairly quickly.
Okay.
But if it was in ideal conditions, it could survive for up to a few days. Just depends on the substance that it's in, if you're with me, you know. But eventually the virus will die off. But when people say they're, you know, they're not wearing masks. The wearing a mask from the person who isn't infected only has basically a psychological impact on them, insofar as it gives them a feeling that they have some protection. But most viruses, most of the masks that you get, a virus particle is so small that it actually would pass through the pores of the weave material in a mask. So you'd want to be using a very, very good mask with a porous substance less than the diameter of a virus, or otherwise a virus will pass through it. But it's there to prevent, that people wear masks basically to stop other people getting their virus.
Okay, now listening to people cancelling holidays in Portugal and France, and Italy.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to roll myself, I hope, sometime in March, but I haven't considered cancelling it. But if I saw, for example, an outbreak that was a bit like an influenza outbreak, because the coronavirus, while it's not an influenza virus, it's in the same sort of viruses that cause common colds. And that's why we haven't got a vaccine for it. It's just mutated into a new form.
And the initial symptoms are very fluid, familiar
that's
to
what kills you. Yeah, it's usually respiratory. The person, literally their lungs just flood up and they die from pneumonia from the fact that they can't get enough air into their system. And that's how the virus kills you, usually. Or else it can exacerbate a condition that you already have, either, as somebody mentioned there, through a lower immune system, or if you have already another disease, it can compromise it, and that's what they kill you, pneumonia. But if I was going abroad, Joe, I'd wait to see. First of all, I'd do what that last previous caller said, check with the HSE or whoever it is to find out, is it okay to go to those areas? I mean, it's not like going to where we had the Ebola outbreak, which is a different thing altogether, because that's much more lethal. But and also the Ebola is, I don't want to go into it, Joe, how it's transmitted, but the Ebola came from bats in forests and came into workers, and then it was transmitted that way. But then it was also transmitted in fluids from the body. But basically, if anybody's worried about it, let them contact the professionals in the area, both the HSE or the Department of Health in the country that you're going through, and get advice from them. Or if you're really stuck for it, talk to the foreign minister, or whatever, you know, the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Yeah, well, they're saying at the minute, citizens are, this is Italy, which probably would affect more Irish people than any of the other countries you mentioned so far. Citizens are advised not to travel to affected areas. Now, does that mean, and then they give the links to the various, to five different regions.
Yeah.
And they also say, make sure you have your EHIC card, your European Health Insurance card.
Yeah, okay. But I mean, Joe, I mean, somebody else mentioned foot and mouth there earlier on, and I think, like, you know, because foot and mouth has such a financial impact on the economy of the country, immediately steps are taken and put in place to prevent the transmission of the infection and people bringing in the virus and all that sort of thing. I don't know if we need to go that far yet with the coronavirus or COVID-19.
Yeah. Lino, thanks, Joe. Hi. That's Joe Taylor in Dublin.
Okay.
Good morning. Lino, good afternoon. You're from Italy originally.
That's right, yeah.
And when were you most recently in at home?
Well, I was in Italy on the 12th of February.
Okay.
On Wednesday, and when we arrived, we were scanned for body temperature to see after the security, the passport.
Oh, they had a temperature scanner.
Control it on the 12th of February. But when I left Rome to back to Ireland 2 days later, on the 14th, was like, get in, no problem, no check, nothing happened.
And then in Dublin?
No, nothing happened. In Dublin, I haven't been checked, apart from my passport.
Oh, you say on the two occasions in Rome, you were checked?
Yeah.
Okay, but not...
No, just on the way in. Just not on the way out.
Oh, not on the way, on the way in, okay.
Yeah.
But on the way back into Dublin, you weren't checked?
No.
Michael Cornan. Michael is in Dunboyne. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Yes, we just came back from Italy, from Rome there on Thursday. My wife, Maureen, and myself was there visiting for 3 or 4 days. And we were checked on the way in.
Temperature.
In the airport. So there was security people there with masks. And we were checked for temperature on the way in. But other than that, there was no issues in Rome. We went to the papal audience. We ended up meeting Pope Francis.
Well done. And was he shaking hands?
He shook hands for, I think, an average of about 2 hours. So he shook thousands of hands, which I was surprised at. But there was no issue at all in the Vatican.
So
he shook
a hand, withdrew his hand.
Yep.
People let go, like sometimes they don't let go, but he didn't slap anyone, we hope. But
he slapped nobody, yeah.
But I'm being pernickety, so he didn't wash his hands every 2 minutes.
No, he spent, I think, at least 2 hours shaking hands. It was actually absolutely incredible. Like, for a man of his age, he spent a huge amount of time. So there's a number of people there who especially brought in to see the Pope, and then he went round the audience along the side and shook hands with everybody.
Okay. And was there much sign in Rome, Michael, of people wearing masks or checking temperatures?
No, there was absolutely nothing in hotels, restaurants, no sign of anything like that in Rome at all at any stage. So it's very relaxed. Lots of tourists.
Okay. Was there any sort of the big where people gather, like the Vatican, obviously, that wasn't closed, where people gathered together?
And all the tourists were still going in. Like, we were in groups. We did a tour at the Vatican. We did tours at the Colosseum. They were all, you know, groups of people, 20, 30, 40. Okay. People, so there was no issues at all with any of those groups. All those, it was quite busy, actually surprisingly busy for the time of year. Everything was going as absolutely normal.
Okay.
So, you know, I listened to some of the people earlier. I think
if you were going, but Michael, if we were due to go to Rome this coming Thursday, would you go?
I think I would, yeah. I still plan to do some more travel.
Okay. Take that point, Lino. Have you family and relations in?
I am a relation of them, but also in south of Italy.
And how are they? They're all fine.
Yeah, they're all okay. There's no worry at all.
No panic. Okay. Good stuff, Lino. Okay, 51551 Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Dennis McGrath in Meath was in Stansted Airport just outside London last Thursday. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon. Yeah, I was in Stansted there on Thursday, and I was curious, travelling through Dublin Airport, whether or not there was going to be any indication of the virus, and there was nothing. And when I got on the far side into Stansted, I was curious on the far side whether there was anything going on there, and there was absolutely nothing. We just sailed through, and when I got into the arrivals hall, I was just having a coffee, and I was curious to watch to see if there was anybody with masks, and I saw one guy. And then I went to Tottenham, then obviously for the Champions League game, and like the 63,000 people there milling around, nobody checking anything. So. That's basically what's going on out there at the moment.
But I even see, including Joe Taylor, saying some of the masks are totally ineffectual anyway. They seem to be
different. Yeah, but you would have thought at this stage, now that we know that it's travelling, that, you know, people would, you know, the authorities would put some form of checking with the movement of people in and out through Dublin Airport, you know.
But even if, crazy to me. Yeah, but even if they do detect a high temperature as you arrive in Dublin Airport, they're all going to say to you is, listen, would you get onto your ring, don't they say ring your GP rather than attend? Ring your GP if the symptoms get worse.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I mean, I don't have the solution because I'm not qualified to comment on things like that, but you would have thought there would be some alert system in place in both jurisdictions, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
Rather than sort of waiting for the inevitable that could be coming down the tracks.
Yeah. Hopefully not. Dennis McGrath, thanks, Neil. Charles is in Fisburn in Dublin. Charles, your point, please.
Good afternoon to you, Joe. Just talking about the inevitable there, I'll just tell you where I'm coming from. I'm just a taxi driver here up in Dublin Airport, and obviously a few of us this morning were having a cup of tea at the airport, and we were talking about the whole thing. Then 2 weeks' time, there's going to be thousands of Italians coming over for the Ireland match. Now, we've no idea, it sounds terrible, if any of these people have the virus or not. And we're the first power to call. Yeah. I mean, people get into our car.
I know.
We don't know what to have. And the best of time now, during the year, they get 3 or 4 colds during the year because people are coughing and spluttering on top of you. But like this, as the previous caller said, there's nothing in the arrivals in Dublin Airport. Mm-hmm. There's nobody kind of stopping people or checking people or whatever, and I don't mean to come across as being anti-Italian, but you know, it's a precaution at the same time.
Well, if it spreads in Italy, I'd say there'd be calls for the game to be postponed or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think there's 4 people have died now from what I can gather in northern Italy, and the villages are closed down and the train stations are closed down, and some of these people could be coming from that area, who knows. Mm-hmm. And well, as I say, we're forced protocol. Nobody from Dublin Airport has come to us and told us what to do or masks or whatever.
Did you just come to a conclusion at this meeting this morning? Did you say we think the Italy game should be cancelled?
Not at all. Quite honestly, it's a bit of banter amongst us, you know. But at the same time, it's a bit of a worry at the same time.
Yeah, but the stats so far, now I know it's awful, and the people who you can't really play around with percentages when you're talking about deaths because people are 100% dead. But in terms of the ratio, it is lower. COVID-19 is lower than the flu.
Yeah, I know, Joe.
The death rate.
Well, that's the thing. But it only takes one person, as the fella says, to spread it and to give it to you.
Yeah, but you'd never leave your house, Charles.
Well, that's the thing. And this is the worry. 2 weeks' time. Come back to me in 3 weeks' time, Joe. See if I'm still alive.
No, you will be. Don't worry. You will be. Okay, Charles. Thanks indeed. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe at RT.ie. Sinead, what happened? Tell us.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Tell us the process when your friend arrived in Ireland. From where?
Yeah, they were coming from China, a few different places to get to Dublin and, Frankfurt and then on to Dublin. And I was quite concerned because, we have children in school together.
Okay.
And I didn't know who else to ring. It was evening time, so I rang a care doc, and a very helpful nurse rang me back saying that we needed to contact public health. And obviously at that hour of the night, I couldn't. So she did it for me, and she rang the ambulance service. And normally what's supposed to happen, according to the public health and the ambulance service, anybody from coming from China is supposed to be met from the plane in the gowns, the whole shebang with the ambulance, and taken to the Mater Hospital to be tested for the virus. Now, at the end of the day, they didn't do this because they felt, well, the person coming from China wasn't at risk. How they knew that was beyond me. But I was so concerned about it that I felt it was the right thing to do that night. Apparently, anybody coming from China is supposed to present themselves to the Mater for the blood test. Apparently, you can have the blood test, the results, within 24
Great.
Hours.
Great, brilliant, yeah, okay.
And there's no quarantine facilities in Ireland, so...
Well, I think that there are.
They told me that. Now, your woman told me that on the phone that night.
Okay, well, the HSE, obviously, Tony Hulam was on this morning.
Only isolation,
they're fully,
they said.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's what I was informed of that night. There's only isolation. To be kept in isolation for 24 hours while the results of the test were coming back, were to come back. Mm. And that was it. At the end of the day, the person was able to come from China, walked freely through Dublin Airport. There was no testing, there was nothing, and was able to go home. Now, the person is on the ball. They've kept themselves in quarantine themselves. They haven't gone back to work. They're wearing their mask.
Okay.
All of that.
They've been home 2 weeks.
Yeah, probably over 2 weeks now.
So, insofar as we know, that's fine, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's fine, isn't it? 2 weeks.
14 days, they say, the quarantine, yeah.
Okay.
But so that was what I was told that night, that you're supposed to present yourself to the Mater Hospital. But there's nothing on the planes. There was nothing at Dublin Airport to inform people of this.
But is the risk of getting coronavirus in Ireland not very low? We're in Ireland.
A lot of people came from China. I know of a lot of people who have come from China, and they obviously went into their own quarantine, but they're still in the country.
There's only a tiny proportion, both geographically and demographically, of China. I know the quantum is when you say tiny proportion in China, the quantum can be very big, but it's still...
Yeah, but it only takes one person to spread it.
Yeah. Okay, really? People are coming on, that's what they're saying. I can't beat you around with a newspaper and say you're wrong, but these are intelligent people like yourself, Sinead, who are reading and know what's happening, and we live in a much more, thankfully, a much more transparent and communicative world. Mm-hmm. And the only part of the world that's not communicative, unfortunately, is China and North Korea.
I know.
And unfortunately. Say there, Sinead, Patricia Haney, Patricia, your point, please. You're going on holidays.
I am. I'm going next Tuesday, tomorrow week.
Okay.
To Canaries.
Are you going to go ahead with it? Yes.
I certainly am.
I'll drive you to the airport.
Absolutely. No, of course I am.
Yes.
I mean, if the Minister of Foreign Affairs was to come out and say that's a high risk, or not to go, not high risk, that not to go, then I may not go.
Okay.
But until that happens, I will be going.
Good. And
absolutely.
And
I think it's gone hysterical, that people are going kind of hysteria at this stage.
And
I used to have it, but... I mean, still go.
Yeah,
you can't cross the road.
I know. I know.
Joe, I'm just coming out the other side of breast cancer last year. And I live every day as if it's my last, because one day it will be my last. So, I will not... I'll be going on my holidays at all costs unless the Minister for Foreign Affairs says no.
Okay.
And nothing will stop me.
And Patricia, why do you say I live every day as if it's my last?
I do live every day as if it's my last, Joe. When you get a diagnosis of cancer, any kind of cancer, in my case it was breast cancer, it puts things in perspective.
Yeah, okay.
It teaches you what's important.
Yeah.
And what's important to me is live every day to the best of my ability and live it as good as I can. And I will be going for the heat in my bones. There's nothing sure as
now. Oh, absolutely.
I think people are kind of going a bit on the mad side about this. I mean, Corona is very serious. I'm not making light of it.
I know that. Well, would you be...
Well, it wouldn't stop me. It's crazy to stop you from going on holidays, especially the countries that are not going to the high-risk parts of the country.
Just to be clear, the only thing the department said is don't go to any areas that are basically cordoned off.
Yeah, don't go to any areas of high risk. Yeah. Well, if you go to an area that's high risk, you're in serious trouble. Yeah, anyone with half a brain wouldn't dream of going to a high-risk area.
Now, medically, they say, just if you're anyway...
I am compromised, Joe.
Oh, okay. How?
I'm compromised. I'm diabetic as well. But then again, so is loads of other people. You can't just live.
Not at all.
You can't live on the edge like that. You just have to go with the flow. And that's what I do. Go with the flow.
Diabetes.
I look after myself being
well
diabetic as best I
know
I can.
I know it's not easy, well, but it is.
As I said, there's no way will it stop me going on my holidays. You need a bit of heat, all this cold and all the rest. You need a wait in the damp weather. But I think people are kind of taking it a step too far. That's what I personally think. I definitely wouldn't. I have sisters that's going next week to Prague. Not next week, going on Wednesday to Prague for a few days.
Okay.
They're certainly not cancelling, Joe.
Okay, and are you going to the Canaries in a group, Patricia?
Just two of us. We meet. We have friends over there that we all meet.
Great.
From Ireland. We go for Patrick's Day.
Oh, will you be out there first?
We have a great time.
Yeah, of course. Brilliant. I'd love to be going with you.
There's no way would I be putting the damper on that. Absolutely no way, Joe, for loving the money. As I said, you live every day of your last because one day it will be.
But Patricia, you wouldn't... I know you said you're diabetic and that's all manageable these days, thank God. But would you say to your GP, is it okay if I go?
No.
Okay.
No, why would I say that?
But he knows
why
now.
Joe, I mean, it's not like Spain is at risk at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's not.
No, I wouldn't. I'm sure I'll tell my GP because I have to go and get a prescription before I go. But there's no way would she wouldn't be in the position to say, look, you can't go or don't go.
Yeah.
You know.
What if you get to get a prescription for? That's just regular tablets.
I need me diabetic tablets, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
But there's no problem with diabetics to travel. There's no problem with people with diabetes traveling.
Sure, I mean, it keeps me a compromise or this or that. You're compromised if you think you're compromised. I look after myself, and so does most diabetics that I know. You know, they try and take as much good care of themselves as they can, keep their sugar levels proper and all the rest. I do that mighty fine in any country I'm in. You know, I don't need people saying, look, you're compromised. Mind yourself. I look after myself either way.
Okay.
You know.
Well, enjoy your holidays.
I'm here on my own, Joe, so why not be in another warm country, getting a bit of sun into the bones?
Yeah, here.
Tanking up for next year for the...
Vitamin D.
The cold.
Yeah, okay. Well, safe travelling, Patricia. Enjoy your holidays.
Okay, I wish more people wouldn't take it, Joe. Like, if the country's not compromised, you're going to just go. I mean, get a holiday.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Thanks, Patricia. Safe travelling.